Bruce Jenkins from the Chronicle with us.
Yeah, I remember when Kipe was in Colorado for a while broadcasting, and I remember, you know, because I get the direct ticket package, and I'm listening to Kipe and going, man, how good would it be if he were out here? He's a giant, you know, at heart, and I wasn't alone in that, thank goodness. Larry Bear agreed.
Well, Hawaiian Airlines, everybody sign up for the contest. Make sure everyone is in. We're going to do a gift trip for two tomorrow to Kona, Kauai, or Honolulu, and that is one of the best contests in the history of radio. So, Pat,
about 352.
Cody working with us tomorrow. That's right, 1 o'clock for us out here tomorrow.
ESPN taking over the telecast of tomorrow's game, so should be fun. Zito, Kershaw, and Hawaiian Airlines, so about 352.
At Fox today, I'm sure we'll get a – Bill Lasky is with me on the postgame show today. And last time there was a Fox game he was on, boy, he didn't hold back. I want to tell
you. Good for him. Yeah, he's good when he lets
yeah,
it fly.
Boy, so we got that on the post game. But, Bruce, baseball news, Steven Strasburg. He was supposed to make one more start. Now they've shut him down for mental as well as physical. What is this all about?
You know what? They just wore him down mentally. Every day he goes into the clubhouse. He walked in the field. Hey, here's the guy who's not going to pitch. Right. He's healthy, mind you, but he's not going to pitch. You imagine being that guy, and, you know, baseball's a very macho culture. You don't want to walk around and be that guy. You want to be the stud. You want to be the guy who's going to pitch it through. And last night they looked at him, and they figured that he was mentally beaten. And so, oh, man, I'll tell you, it's brutal. And I heard they were booing Dave Johnson today, and there's a lot of tension around that club that has been created by them. And maybe they'll overcome it. You know, there's 3 weeks to get this post-Strasburg life started. But we'll see.
Well, you look at pitchers, and I realize it's a different world today medically, and you have agents involved and doctors. And we discussed this last week, and maybe, Bruce, you and I even discussed it on the air with Pat. But, you know, doctors say one thing, and, you know, it's, you know, CYA. You know, everybody's covering it, you know. And doctor says, well, wait a minute. You better take it easy on this guy, high-stress innings. He's this kind of pitcher. It's a $100 million investment eventually. And I guess they get the ear of the people who run the ball club, and they scare them.
Well, they do. I mean, but how many doctors have told football players they couldn't play?
Right.
How many guys have gone out there with broken limbs? And I mean, the whole history of baseball pitching in the clutch has nothing to do with logic. It's Oral Hershiser gotten it through all the way through 88. It's Koufax pitching on 2 days rest. It's Lou Burdette. It's Robin Roberts. I mean, logic has nothing to do with it. And you get respect for going out there at a time, you know, which is above and beyond the call. With Strasburg, it's just like every 5 days and they're shutting him down. You know, maybe they're right, but everybody's guessing.
That's
everybody's
right.
guessing.
Right, and especially where you have a team that will be in the playoffs and you have him along with Zimmerman and Gio Gonzalez, and all of a sudden you're looking Giants 2010. You've got that rotation.
Well, not only that, you're looking at Giants Washington 2012, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's right. True.
And for my money, Washington, they've got to win the whole thing now. They've got to win it all. They can't just say, well, we're going to win the next 10.
No.
You know, because if they don't win it, there's going to be a lot of, well, gee, Strasburg could have pitched this game or that. And, boy, if the Giants do play him, it's going to be really interesting.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Last night. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I just want to say, as long as we're talking about pitchers and doctors, we definitely got to look up to Seattle, or at least the A's going tonight again. And then let's talk about Brandon McCarthy and what happened the other night. I mean, that's just some scary stuff, and it makes baseball so secondary, right?
Oh, it was just, I mean, it's amazing to think that he got right up, you know, on his butt and was sitting up and then walked off the field, which is, in retrospect is an unbelievably, you know, courageous thing to do. I thought the A's win last night was especially impressive. I mean, they're dealing with this. They're going up against Felix Hernandez. I mean, my goodness, and they just win handily. You know, that's really impressive, but this is the kind of thing, and I remember Bull McLaughlin with the A's happened years ago. I was there that night. It hangs over you. You need to know how it's going to come out, and they don't, and it's really rough.
McCarthy is tweeting this morning.
Well,
I will
good.
Tell you that. He that's said right. he says children's Tylenol, the greatest thing ever invented. So whatever.
He's lucid on top of his
tweets. Yeah, right. So
that's a very good sign.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of tweets from at least in his account this morning. So that's good news. But you're right, Pat. I'm glad you brought that
and
up.
And I don't know if he's even out of the woods yet, despite the tweets and stuff. What, 3 days after surgery? And they said that it was a life-threatening situation going on up there. So, yeah,
well,
but the obvious thing to say is that, you know, you hope that everything works out for the McCarthy family. But he's a tough dude and a guy that really contributed, while in intervals for the A's this year, he really contributed to the success they've had so far.
He really did. Very tough guy. And, you know, you rule him out now. You don't. There's not even an issue of him coming back. I mean, should it happen, it would be downright miraculous. But they're moving on from that, and it's all about, you know, him taking – them taking care of him in the hospital, getting him right. And I guess the signs this morning, maybe that life-threatening is gone away. Let's just hope that's the case.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this happens, and again, all of a sudden the arguments start that pitchers should wear helmets.
Right.
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, I think a lot of guys wouldn't even go out there with a helmet.
How are you going to keep it on?
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe some kind of real tight padding on the side of the head. I don't see it in any case.
No.
No, I mean, people always panic. You know, when they had the big fight in Detroit in the NBA, they thought about putting up, barriers so the fans can.
That's right.
Every time something like this happens, there's an overreaction.
All right, Bruce, you were out here last night as a fan. You got to see Lincecum and Beckett. I said this morning, this Beckett really showed me something last night, not just because it was a good game and all that, but just his mannerisms on the mound. He held the ball for an eternity and stopped the running game as best he could. This is going to be something to watch over the next couple of years.
Yeah, he reminded me of the Beckett that I saw at Yankee Stadium in Game 7 for Florida. He goes in and pitches a shutout, goes 9, series over, see you later. Take that, New York. I mean, he's a badass pitcher, and he's got a lot of mound presence, which is a key thing for anybody. He owns the mound, and that's important, the way you conduct yourself out there. And he looked a lot like the old Beckett. And like you say, next year he's probably going to be the anchor of that staff. I mean, Billingsley may not pitch. Well, Kershaw, of course, but the right-handed anchor. But Billingsley may not pitch at all, maybe until midseason. So we'll see Beckett. We're going to see a lot of Beckett in this rivalry.
The Giants last night looked like a baseball team last night. They were ragged against Arizona for the first three games of this homestand. Last night, you had the feeling they did not want to make mistakes. They had a little rough inning in the field in the third inning, but Lincecum worked his way out of it. But they looked to me like the ball club that said, all right, it's September. We know what we have to do. We're going to get bunts down. He's got 36 players here. There's only 40 on the 40-man roster, and Hensley's coming back Tuesday. There's only three who aren't here. So he's got every weapon humanly possible for a manager, but they played ball last night, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, just they bring Burris off the bench. He's got to get that bunt down, and he's right back in the doghouse. You know, he's hanging on for dear life, and he gets it down. You know, Pagan comes up, guy on second. How nice would it be to get a base hit to right, and he does it. Scudero, same thing. Andy Baggerly had a great note today. Since the All-Star break, they're leading the bigs in – batting average with runners in scoring position.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden they're the most clutch team in the bigs, and they're doing it without any power. So that really says something about a baseball team.
Yeah, and last five. How about this? Last five games. By the way, it's 3-11.
3-11.
Since the All-Star
there you go,
break.
Yeah.
But the last five games, 25 for 56.
Duh.
Sounds like Ethier against
Ethier
Kane.
Against Kane. Yeah.
But 25 for 56, 4.46 with runners in scoring position.
That's just absurd.
Isn't that amazing?
How good that is.
You know what it shows me? It shows me that it's 162 games. It's a marathon. You can't get crazy about numbers in April, May, and June, because eventually it all seems to work out when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and one thing I've always loved about baseball, especially in this era where teams spend so much money, is that the smart teams who play and spend wisely tend to prevail, and we're seeing it so vividly now with the Red Sox collapsing. Now the Dodgers have all this money, and they're about to drop out of the race. The Yankees are struggling.
Boy.
The A's are the team to watch, and the Giants. I mean, this is what it's about. This is why there's no salary cap, and why it's beautiful.
Yeah, we joked around last week about all these possibilities in this wild card thing.
I like
the second wild card. I do it. It creates interest, but you better win your division.
Oh.
It is now even more important to me as we get closer to win a division.
Yeah, I was looking at it a little bit just in terms of if the Dodgers were involved in something like this, tied with the Cardinals for that second spot, then they have to play a separate game before they even get to the wild card playoff. I tell you, everybody should read a column by Jason Stark about some of the scary things that could happen.
Yeah.
I just scratched the surface. I mean, oh, my God. It's some of the possibilities are just frightening. So if you win your division, you're just sitting back with your feet up going, God, this is great. Our pitching staff's intact.
Yeah.
Everybody's fighting and clawing, and we're just waiting for the weekend.
I like Victorino's quote this morning. He said, well, we just want to get in. It's almost like, something? I don't think we can catch these guys.
Yeah.
Meaning the Giants. We just want to get in any way we can, and then we'll see what happens. So I thought that was sort of telling a little bit maybe what they're thinking internally about the ball club.
Well, yeah, they go 0 for 20 last night with all their big hitters. Oof. Victorino, Ethier, Hanley, et cetera, et cetera. That's pretty frustrating. Lincecum walked 7. But he was still nails.
It was strategic walks, you know, and he didn't look. He didn't give up the big inning.
No, absolutely.
You know,
never.
Out of the stretch, he, you know, it was a little weird at times, but he got the outs when he had to get it. Bruce, how important was the Lincecum game last night, just in the perspective of a season?
Well, I think it's his season is now rising back to the surface a little bit, but I think it's more importantly as you look forward to the postseason, since we're all tending to do that now. I mean, I think it's pretty apparent that he's got a pitch in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I'd even put him ahead of Vogelsong right now because he just there's something about Lincecum. You know, the way he's pitching now, you know, he's trying to find himself in sort of a second life is really impressive. And you talk about mound presence. You look at that guy. Watch that guy during a game. The posture, never a movement out of place. He's such a professional out there. Last night was a great example. I think it's really encouraging. You know, he come out with Kane, Lincecum, Bumgarner. Then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe not in that order.
Well, I think Lincecum has pitched his way back into it. Vogelsong has kind of pitched his way out of it. And then you take the veteran presence of what a postseason means, and that's why it's Kane. The three of them won a World Series.
Yep.
The three of them did.
Yeah, and you'll need a four starter in there somewhere. The way I mean, it's jam-packed. The days off are at a premium this year, so it's going to be a four-man, and Vogelsong will definitely be in there if they get to that.
I'm glad you brought that up because, Pat, we had kicked that around a little bit. I think they need a fourth starter there's only one travel day, and these guys don't pitch on 3 days rest.
Not anymore.
It will be Vogelsong. It'll be four.
Yeah. I mean, I think if it was a Game 7 and it was Bumgarner, he'd pitch on 3 days rest and love it. So
like Beckett did, back in 2003?
Yeah.
We all remember that.
Yeah. And, you know, the real standard in the bigs is 2 days rest in the World Series. There's quite
Randy
a few
Johnson.
Examples of that.
Well, Randy Johnson,
Koufax, Lou Burdett, but that's never going to happen.
Boy, I'll tell you, another 10 days, eventually the Dodgers run out of games.
Yes.
But we're still at that point. You know, honestly, we're still at that point. You lose four in a row, they win four in a row.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, it's September baseball again. But they're at a point where if they lose four in a row, the Dodgers and the Giants win four in a row, it's sayonara.
Yeah, I mean, if the Giants win the next two, especially with Zito over Kershaw, that's got some finality to it. But, you know, otherwise, it's still very much up in the air.
I said, if Zito beats Kershaw tomorrow night, you can start printing the tickets right now.
$500 deposit, non-refundable.
Yeah, that's $1,000.
You watch enough baseball, and you watch Kershaw against the Giants, and, you know, it's a one- or two-run game, and usually 2-0, 1-0.
Yeah.
And Zito gives up runs.
Yep.
He does. I mean, you know, so you would think at 5 o'clock, the way Kershaw pitches, but if they beat Kershaw tomorrow night, folks, get your tickets ready. I want to tell you.
Yeah, turn out the lights.
Hey, Marty, I want to ask Bruce one more final question, because 2 weeks ago we happened to have Bruce on when it was time for Roger Clemens to pitch for the Sugar Land Skeeters, and he threw to his son last night. Four innings. And I got to say, 2 weeks ago I thought it was atrocious, it was shameful. But reading about that this morning, I got a little bit of a pep in my step about how cool it must be, despite all the alternative or ulterior motives Clemens has, to throw to your son in a professional game, even though it's independent league. I don't know. I thought that was pretty charming. Am I off base here?
Well, you know what's great? Next week he's going to throw to his mom. It's so so touching.
Okay.
I can't wait for that one.
All right, Bruce. No romance involved here. No,
I hear you. If you're in the Clemens family, it's unbelievable.
Well, if you're in Texas watching
that's right. They're loving
Toby Keith showed up. Paul Wall, the great Houston rapper. Yeah. So it's kind of a to-do.
I'm not feeling it yet, but we'll see.
I would say it's a regional moment. It's hearkening back to the 30s when they would bring regional ball clubs in to play town teams.
Leave it to Marty to get back to the Depression era. That was rough on me, too. I hated that.
If you read enough baseball, what it looks like to me.
Yeah,
that a train should have brought them in, and, you know, they set up a tent, and that's what it
the
was
The bunting
all about.
And all that? Yeah.
Come on. It's just ridiculous.
Hey, you two cynical guys. Come on.
Yeah, the worst.
It's ridiculous. All right, so today's game. How big is today's game? Kane and Capuano.
Well, it's the biggest game the Dodgers are going to face. I mean, it's so big for them. It's ridiculous. It wouldn't be nice if the Giants lost it. I mean, Kane Capuano is a matchup they should win, especially the way they're hitting. If they don't, they bounce back as well as anybody in the big leagues. But for the Dodgers, it's just massive.
Yeah, I think it's big because of what happens tomorrow. You know, again, it's a tough matchup tomorrow. So you want to win a series, and you want to get them out of here another game back in that loss column with three games less on the schedule.
Yeah, and it sounds like that, you know, the Giants aren't taking anything for granted. You've got to play with desperation every day, and that Bochy's great that way. You can just tell by the way he manages, and so they're not going to put the foot off the pedal, I don't think.
All right,
by any means.
All right, enjoy it. You're working today, right?
Yes, I am. Can't wait.
All right, and then tomorrow you'll be with us 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes, I will.
All right, thanks, Bruce.
Okay, guys.
Bruce Jenkins of the San. Hey, big hand for Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle.
Great stuff.
Come on.